Let's Chat with Grace. So today we have a really fantastic interviewer, Brian Porter from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Brian has been a client of mine since 2008. Mm-hmm. And boy, do we have some stories. Some really great stories to tell. So we're going to do this in two segments. So we're going to start out to have Brian give us a little bit of overview about his investment career. He actually left corporate America and is a full-time investor. Mm-hmm. And so, Brian, when you came here in 2008, you were in several Southeast markets.
Yes.
And Brian came here looking for investment property and also at the same time was a mentor for other investors learning how to invest in real estate. So he had kind of a dual fold. He was teaching other people about real estate investing, mm-hmm. plus also investing himself in mm-hmm. the Southeast of the United States. Mm-hmm. So how many markets did you go into originally?
So in 2006, I went to Columbus, Georgia with the a group called the National, what was it called? Real Estate Investors Group. It was Mark Garrison. Mm-hmm. And I went initially as a client in 2006. We went to Columbus, Georgia because they identified it as a growth market. In 2006, I had been downsized. I was a controller for a regional builder mm-hmm. in Connecticut. The market was shrinking, communities were closing, and I got downsized. I had a little bit of capital that I inherited, and I said, okay, let's see if I can put that to work investing. And we went to Columbus, Georgia, ultimately bought 10 single-family homes there. Mm-hmm. And then while I was a client of the group, I was a former CPA, construction finance for 10 years. And they said, hey, how'd you like to come work with us? You know, you'd be good to help teach people about valuation, mm-hmm. Some of the analysis that you do to acquire property, financing, corporate structures, stuff like that. I said, sure. So their next market was Tupelo, Mississippi. We went there because there was an automobile plant that was about to open. Small market, it was a good growth opportunity, we all thought. So we went there, bought some houses there. And then late in 2007, we went to Nashville. And I didn't find opportunity for me in Nashville, almost. There was a one property that a friend of mine and I negotiated on, ultimately didn't come through. But while we were in Nashville, the realtor said, hey, have you ever thought about Chattanooga? And we said, what? And they said, you need to go check it out. So we went down and studied the market for a couple weeks and decided we agreed with the realtor. So we brought a couple of tours. We called them tours. People would pay for a week of classes and introduction to realtors and, you know, tours of the area and we'd kind of take them through the whole process, and then if they were comfortable, then they would buy property. Mostly single-family homes, some commercial mm-hmm. stuff.
Right. How we met.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, because I was encouraging investors to buy some homes, and I'd say to them, I said, well, look, if you all are going to buy this, I'm going to buy it because it's a great opportunity. And so, yeah, so we did our first deal. It was a three-house deal, common ownership.
Yeah.
And that worked out great.
Yeah. So of all those markets, you're pretty much out of all of them now except Chattanooga. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what proved to be the most challenging market?
The most difficult?
Right, yeah.
Ultimately Columbus was the worst market. We went to Columbus because in 2004 or 2005, there was a congressional committee called the Base Realignment Commission, mm-hmm. and they decided they were going to look at all the military bases in the country and combine and eliminate a few. And one of the things that came out of there was they were going to close Fort Knox, the the troops that were at Fort Knox were going to be shipped out, and they were all going to be shipped to Fort Benning outside of Columbus. So that was 40,000 soldiers that were going to go to an MSA that was about 175,000.
Wow.
Or 200,000, something right. like that. And the military had no plans to build any housing on base. Mm-hmm. So we all said, oh my gosh.
Good opportunity.
Great opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately what happened was we had the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
Mm-hmm.
And all the troops
went
to Fort Benning and then got shipped out overseas, you know, almost right away. Their families never came with them. Families all went home to mom and dad. So there was the push in that market never happened.
Wow.
And then the, you know, real estate debacle of 2008, 9, mm-hmm. 10 happened,
mm-hmm.
and it crushed Columbus. And Mark Garrison's group was bringing investors in, like myself. There were, Marshall Reddick had brought mm-hmm. in yeah. many investors.
Yeah.
There were lots of investors from all around the country mm-hmm. running around Columbus, bidding up prices on houses. And of course, the real estate, I mean, back then you could buy, you know, an 1,100 square foot, 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom home in decent condition, maybe 30 years old, you could buy it for like $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the investors were coming from California and
right.
the Northeast and Florida, wherever. And they would look at that and go, oh my God, back where I live, that house would go for $300,000.
Right.
Which, of course, is not relevant.
It is.
We all know that. But I think you almost can't help yourself.
Yeah.
When the real estate market crashed, Columbus had a lot of investors that owned a home or two.
Mm-hmm.
They were underwater because back then you could also get 90% loan to value.
More. I know a lot of investors that got in with equity lines of credit on their houses yeah. in California
yeah.
and put like 5,000 or 7,000 in. That was what a lot of them did with Marshall Reddick.
I knew some investors that refinanced their California homes and used that money to buy mm-hmm. for their down payment.
Exactly.
So they basically bought the homes with nothing.
Right.
No personal equity.
Right.
And yes.
So it became easy to walk away.
Exactly.
Right.
So what happened was, and so, you know, as the real estate market is recovering here in Chattanooga,
mm-hmm.
Tupelo, elsewhere, Columbus still had a huge inventory of REO.
Mm.
I mean, right, there were bank, you could buy bank-held properties, single-family homes in Columbus in like 2015.
Wow.
14, 15, maybe even 16. It was forever. And because the bank, and the bank-helds, you know, the banks were giving those away. We know, I bought some bank-helds here mm-hmm. in Columbus that, you know, right. they were, those houses that used to sell for 60 or 70, the banks were giving them away for like 30.
Yeah. I remember when there were houses in Memphis for $5,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Although, you know, not necessarily neighborhoods you want to be in. But anyway.
Same with Detroit.
So Columbus is now, it's the prices are just slightly above what I paid, you know, 14 years ago.
Yeah. So you're out now. So you're out.
I'm out. I just sold
out this
summer.
You finally got your last one out, which is exciting.
I'm very happy about
that,
yeah.
And so the only Southeast community you're in now is Chattanooga, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so Brian started out in single family.
Yeah.
And then made the decision you wanted to do multifamily.
Well, when I was a mentor with this group, mm-hmm. And we were in Nashville in 2007, I met a guy by the name of Mark Shulman, who was a multifamily investor from Canada. He had just had sort of some personal tragedy in his family and was just looking to shake up his career and decided to give this a try. And
mm-hmm.
and he, I don't know, for some reason, he and I just hit it off personally, just got along well. He's a big personality, great and very bright. And we tried to negotiate a commercial deal in Nashville, and ultimately it didn't pan out. There were some environmental issues that made us walk away from the deal. But about a year later, late in 2008, he called me and he said, Brian, I'm in Miami. You need to come out down and check out this market. And I said, wow, you know, Mark, if you say it, I need to check it out, I need to go. So I went down to Miami. There were a lot of bank-held multifamily properties down in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Which was a great time to buy in Miami.
Oh, my God. The banks were giving them away.
Yeah.
And so we kind of did a small five-unit deal, just mm-hmm. the two of us, to kind of get to know each other and how it might work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was kind of a trust-building
right.
period of time. Mark was residing in Miami at the time. He had a condo that used to be a vacation, but then he kind of moved down there full time, and then we did four other deals, and Mark assembled a bunch of investors from Canada, from home that mm-hmm. he had known over the years. He was a commercial realtor by trade, mm-hmm. And I was in on some of those deals. Some of the deals had two owners, three owners, four owners, whatever, and we bought. And Mark bought as many buildings as he possibly could because you just knew the valuations were going to go up. You just knew. This was all, by the way, in North Beach.
Which is an excellent area.
We focused on North Beach. It's kind of a blue-collar area. Mm-hmm. We were buying units that, you know, hotel managers might live there, restaurant managers might live there, that
right.
kind of thing. And we would buy them, fix them up. About a year after they'd seasoned, about 6 to 9 months, maybe our ownership was maybe 12 to 15 months, then we would refinance. Mm-hmm. When we would refinance, we would get almost all of our money out. And then we would take that money and go buy another building. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately he bought, with his partners, I don't know, about 15, 18 buildings.
That's a lot of buildings.
We were up to 260 units.
Small buildings.
Small buildings.
Right.
No, 8 to 24 units. Mm-hmm. Most of them around 12 to 16.
Did he like that strategy of smaller building units versus large complexes? Or was it just because of how the market was and what the opportunity was? You know, because that's an interesting,
It was mostly the opportunity.
Yeah.
With the smaller buildings, you weren't competing with the corporate guys so much. You weren't competing with the, the fund groups.
Right.
It was, and most of them were bought from banks. Almost all of them were bought from banks. Mm-hmm. And we did develop a couple of relationships with a few banks that where we bought several of the deals. And you know, it was kind of an opportunity by opportunity situation. We got to know the neighborhoods well. Mm-hmm. There were, you know, certain blocks that we stayed away from, certain blocks that we focused on.
Right.
They were all in. Mark ended up buying a few properties in South Beach, but South Beach was much more competitive, and also was kind of a crazy.
It's a unique market.
It is. It's nuts. Yeah. That's where all the, you know, wild, if you hear about wild things, that's South Beach.
Well, that is South Beach.
North, and all the people that are working those wild locations, they all live in North Beach. And we like that better. It was stable,
yeah.
You know, less tenant turnover.
Yeah.
Excellent rents. I mean, ultimately, we had a 50 unit building that was, you know, was pretty good size. Mm-hmm. That was our biggest purchase.
So now, before we go on a break to talk about his two case studies here in multifamily in Chattanooga, that got you kind of seasoned into the multifamily, more comfortable with it.
Absolutely.
So then you felt like, okay, I can come to Chattanooga and I can get into multifamily here.
I understood the financial analysis for me was easy. It was the market analysis, the property analysis, uh-huh. recognizing a growth opportunity. Also, the idea that you could buy something, fix it up, refinance it mm-hmm. shortly after, and get most of your equity out, that was, I hadn't experienced that before.
And that's a great learning opportunity.
It was. It was everything.
So now, is everything sold in Miami at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, we started selling in 14. Mm-hmm. And we finished, our last sale was that 50 unit, and we sold that in 16 or 17.
So your return 17. On investment was?
In Miami?
Yeah.
400%, 500%,
yeah,
more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because when we refinanced, we pretty much had all our money out. We all were in. We might have, you know, at that point, our capital in the buildings might be, you know, 10%, 8%. Mm-hmm. It was next to nothing.
Right.
So it was pretty much the same pile of money that we used to buy, at least that I used to buy what I bought.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
In Chattanooga.
No, in Miami.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I did. And then I did ultimately use some of that money to buy in Chattanooga for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my seed money.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back and we're going to talk about his case studies of multifamily in Chattanooga.
There we go.
Yeah.